Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1086. Our topic is nutrition, and the title is a case study, and we're going to be addressing recent weight gain. So a listener from the podcast reached out from California. Thank you very much. I appreciate when people send in questions. That's the whole point of what this podcast was intended for, was just to be a resource, a no BS resource for people for good, healthy, happy information. So this is truly what I intended the podcast to be, was people would send in questions, I'd send out answers, we'd all be happy. So thank you very much for those who send in requests, send in questions, send in topics. I genuinely appreciate your support, and I genuinely am happy that the podcast is benefiting you in some way. So, pretty cool. What I wanted to do today was talk through the email that the listener sent, talk through what my answers were, and kind of what our back and forth has been, to give everyone an idea of kind of what we would look for if we were in this scenario ourselves. So again, the podcast is titled Recent Weight Gain, and that's what this listener kind of found for themselves. So I'm going to read through this a little bit. I'm going to skip some personal stuff, but we'll get the gist of this. She said, I've been listening to your podcast for the last few months and I enjoyed a lot. I love the topics you choose and they are relevant with everyday life. I'm at a place now where I need some help. So thank you for listening. That was awesome. I'm glad the topics are actually useful. That makes me feel good. And I am glad that people can kind of feel that there's something they can do and use every day. So she's a female in her 40s. And recently she found she gained about 12 pounds in the last 3 months. And that's kind of surprising to her. She exercises Monday through Friday and does like good weight training stuff, do a little bit of blitz of like interval cardio, some odds and ends. Sometimes she'll do some extra things here and there on the weekends, but Monday through Friday, very consistent. She said she's been exercising for years and very comfortable with lifting. She then goes on and explains her nutrition. She said, I eat healthy, but I'm not great about logging my food. I have oatmeal with a scoop of protein, eggs, and coffee for breakfast. She then, for lunch, has lean protein, carb, and vegetable. Now, it doesn't say how much or anything like that, but that's a general good blend of a meal. I mean, protein helps with muscle building, muscle repair, general maintenance of the body. Carbs give us some energy, and vegetables help for vitamins, minerals, and digestive health, and things like that. And then same thing for dinner, so lean protein, carb, and vegetable. I have a small snack before and after lunch, usually a 100-calorie pack of almonds, or some strawberries, banana with a tablespoon of peanut butter, maybe all of that together. But that's what she'll have. So she has breakfast, a little bit of a snack mid-morning, lunch, mid-snack afternoon, and then dinner. And then she said, I allow myself cheat meals, a couple dinners a week, and I also have a weakness for sweets, which may have contributed to my weight gain. She said she's been logging her calories or food for just the past couple days. Now remember, she said she gained 12 pounds in the last 3 months. So it's good that she's starting the process of logging things. But what's important for us to always remember, and she's aware of this, is when we start logging things, it typically changes our behavior. You're not going to graze as much. You're not going to eat some extra sweets here and there that you normally would have because you'd have to enter them into the program or you'd have to account for them and actually accept that you did it. So she said she's logging a couple days and she's eating around 1,800 calories. Even if people report that they're like, oh, I still ate, you know, what I normally would. Typically, they didn't. They still would have made one or two choices to avoid food that they wouldn't have otherwise. So 1,800 calories a day sounds like it's potentially pretty good because I know what their body weight is. And it is relatively in line with what their maintenance calories would be. However, like we said, 1,800 calories, if she wasn't logging it and she had an extra grazing thing here, an extra thing there, that very easily could have been, you know, 2,000 calories. To 2,200 calories. Easy, easy, easy. So now that she's recording things, and we all need to remember this as well, myself included, just because we record things a certain way doesn't mean that's the way it has been. So if it's been kind of unrecorded and kind of not been paid attention to for 3 months, and we log for a couple days, what we log in the last couple days is not a direct representative of what we've been doing for the last 3 months. Because I've had people before, they'll say, hey, you know, I log my calories. It's been X amount. According to things you've said in your podcast, I shouldn't be gaining weight. And once we kind of work through the details, we say it, and we end up figuring out, like, okay, yeah, that's what you eat on your best days, but it's not what you eat on every day. So when I went through and I answered her and I said, I appreciate your kind words and all the good stuff and yada, yada, yada. I said, sorry to hear you're struggling, but again, thank you for reaching out. I appreciate the opportunity to help. The first question I asked was, have you had any blood work done recently to check your hormones and thyroid? The reason why, if she's in her 40s, especially late 40s, you might start to be going through menopause. You might start to be going through some kind of hormonal changes, some thyroid changes. And it wouldn't necessarily be the direct cause, because if we haven't been tracking food, when we don't know how much our nutritional habits have been contributing to the 12 pounds of weight gain. But if they are starting to have hot flashes, if they're starting to have menopausal changes, that can be contributing to part of the weight gain. Now, either entirely, if they've been tracking food and they know for a fact their food didn't change, but it can at least, it can also be some part of it. So it's good to get your hormones checked, good to get your thyroid checked. Whenever you have an uncertainty as to weight change, you want to have an idea of kind of what environment you're operating with, like what's the system of your body. So it's good to get blood work done if you haven't done that recently, but you're noticing that your body is changing and you're kind of like confused by that. So you haven't been changing it on purpose. Okay, so that was the first question. Then the second question I said, do you eat before exercising or after? So she said in her initial email that she works out every morning, and she didn't say whether or not she eats before or after. Now, we've talked about the experience of fasted workouts. Now, two good podcasts you can check out. Number one is going to be podcast 614. It's a nutrition podcast titled The Effects of Caffeine-Fueled Fasted Workouts. And we talk about how that's detrimental and a really crappy idea. And I explain why. I know why people do it, but I explain in podcast 614, again, titled The Effects of Caffeine-Fueled Fasted Workouts, I explain why that's awful. But then in podcast 882, it's titled, If I Hate Fasted Exercise, Why Do I Sometimes Prescribe It? I go through and actually explain why sometimes I will prescribe fasted exercise. Now, really short example would be as if somebody takes thyroid medication. When they wake up in the morning and they take their thyroid medication, they're not supposed to eat for an hour. But maybe they work out right in the morning before the kids and the spouse and all the everybody gets up and the world gets in their way. So they're like, well, damn it, you know, am I supposed to wait for an hour and then exercise? By then, I've kind of already messed up, you know, like my day's already started, kids already need me, you know, all these other responsibilities have started. So in those cases, I have them start their workout fasted. But as soon as that hour is up, we start drinking some carbohydrates, we start putting in some proteins, we start fueling ourselves to kind of finish the workout and end in a less fasted state. So podcast 614 talks about the effects of caffeine-fueled fasted workouts. Podcast 882 talks about if I hate fasted exercise, why do I sometimes prescribe it? So that would be pretty awesome to check out if you want to learn more about why that was a specific question I asked. Why did I care whether they did fasted workouts? Workouts or not. That's very significant, by the way. Don't blow past that. If you aren't aware of the effects of fasted exercise, the negative impacts on body composition, because it's true, it negatively impacts the way you look. Please check out those podcasts. Okay, then I said, you certainly do enough activity, so no worries there. As for nutrition, not logging food could be an issue. But it's very unlikely you'd have started eating so much extra as to contribute to gaining 12 pounds in 3 months without noticing it. So I doubt that it is an issue, but it's always an easy place to start would be tracking calories and would be worth getting back into the habit of. It could also help increase awareness of snacking and grazing and increase awareness of the true caloric size of your cheat meals, which certainly could be contributing to the issue. So, for example, you have people who, they'll eat really good for breakfast, they'll eat really good for their snacks, they'll eat really good for lunch, they'll eat really good for their afternoon snack, and then they go out to dinner and they have a 1,400 calorie dinner. And they're like, well, they had one cheat meal. Oh shit, 1,400 calories is way too big of a meal for most people. So they may have done well or kind of paid attention to their priorities or been accountable to their diet for 4 of the 5 meals of the day, but the cheat meal is so damn big that it actually negates the whole day. And it's worst timing whatsoever to put in the most calories is right before you go to bed. So if she's having cheat meals a couple times a week, which I believe she says that, I allow myself cheat meals a couple dinners a week, they might be contributing a lot more calories than what she'd expect. So it's very important to check that out. And what we might find is she's better off limiting that to only once a week, or bumping that up to lunch, or kind of spreading out the calories throughout her other meals so she doesn't have to have that big lump sum of calories in individual meals. That can be enough to start causing the 12 pounds of weight gain in 3 months. Is you're attentive to all of your meals, but you have a few cheat meals here or there. They might be so big that they're actually causing the problem. And also that grazing concept. So her normal meals, her everyday meals, the meals that she would, you know, be kind of aware of, breakfast, lunch, dinner kind of things, like healthy meals, they're probably not the problem. So if she hasn't been tracking them, that's not the problem. The problem is the things she doesn't track that are abnormal, that aren't accounted for. And that's the snacking and grazing and probably those cheat meals. The other thing I asked her was, has your weight changed at all for the few days you've been tracking? Has your energy crashed? Why this is important is, if she said she started tracking a couple days and her calories have been 1,800, but she had a big weight change in those couple days, or she had a big energy change in those couple days, that shows us that they're more uncommon than common. Meaning, if she tracked herself to 1,800 calories and she goes, this is pretty much what I eat all the time, but oh, I have lost 6 pounds of water weight in the last 3 days, then hell no, it was not what you were eating all the time. Otherwise, your body wouldn't have had that big of a response to it. Does that make sense? Likewise, if she's like, oh, you know, 1,800 calories is what I've been eating all the time, but these last couple days I felt like absolute crap and I have no energy. Well, then no, it wasn't. It definitely was not the calories you were eating all the time. So those are ways we all can know, you know, if what we've been doing actually has been what we've been doing. So if I track for a couple of days and I feel a big difference in weight change, or I feel a big difference in my energy, then I know that what I'm tracking was not what I was doing. It must be different. It must be a change if it is producing change. So the 1,800 calories must be a change from what I was doing if my body is changing due to that 1,800 calories. Make sense? So, she replied back, thank you for your reply. I'm excited to hear your thoughts on my situation. I have not had blood work done, but I do think that's a good idea. I started to feel bigger a few days ago. I went on a week-long vacation about 3 weeks ago, and my eating was not as good as usual, but that's normal on vacation, which is absolutely true. So don't beat yourself up over that. It's vacation. Enjoy yourself. I came back home with a dragged-down feeling, but after a week at home was feeling better. Typically, what ends up happening on vacation is we don't eat as often as we normally do, and we eat much more than we normally do in each individual meal. So rather than eating 5 times a day, we eat twice a day or 3 times a day, and it's way more calories per meal than we normally would, and it's kind of cruddier foods like saturated fats, sugars, so we don't feel as good from vacation foods. She said she works a hybrid schedule, kind of 50% at home, 50% in the office, and it's been hard to stay out of the kitchen when she's home, so she believes grazing could definitely be a problem. When I track calories, it's too much trouble to track grazing, so I'm better about not grazing. That's exactly what happens when we track calories, is we graze less. Cool. Now, my energy has been good the last few days, so that's good. We know she didn't have a big energy crash. She said yesterday I ate 1,494 calories. So let's just say 1,500, because 6 calories is easier to round that math to 1,500. And then Wednesday was 1,864. So 1,850. We'll just say 1,850. So one day was 1,500. The other day was 1,850. That's a big change. That's a big change. So 350 calories is quite significant. If you look at 1,500, 350 calories represents over a 20% increase. That's significant. So if we're having that much variability from day to day, she's going to have big changes in like weight retention, water retention. So we have to narrow that down. She said she's going to try to stay closer to 1450 or 1500 calories, but I'm concerned with my activity. I won't have enough food and I'll lose energy. Damn sure you will. So she weighs around 140. So for her to only be eating 10 times her body weight, maybe 11 times her body weight, but she exercises every day? Hell no. That's way too little of calories. That's going to be too low. So we got to bump that up. I'm going to encourage her to get to 13 times her body weight, and then try to stay within 10% window of that. I'll explain that to her in an email back, but that's what I would do as my recommendation. Since she's active, I'm going to have her do body weight times 13 calories, times 13. That's going to be her daily calories. But it's impossible for us to hit the exact number all the time, so I'm going to give her plus or minus windows of 10%. Now, we're going to take some steps from there. We're going to eventually narrow that window. We're going to eventually create training days and non-training day kind of calories so we have caloric cycling. But this is the first place I'd start. Is I would say, okay, what have you been tracking? What have you been seeing? If what we've been seeing is a lot of variability, let's narrow that down. If we can get it more consistent, we can then see a more consistent response from the body. We can then change what we do to better predict the body response we want, aka lose body fat. So she said, this morning I was down 2 pounds. My previous weigh-in was at the end of the day, and this morning's weigh-in was fasted. So not comparable whatsoever. You gain weight throughout the day by eating and drinking food. So you cannot compare weight at the end of a day compared to weight at the beginning of the day. So that was neat that she did that, but it's not going to mean really anything for us because we don't have, it's not an apples to apples comparison, it's an apples to oranges comparison. So we're not comparing the same thing. So we got to weigh ourselves always in the morning fasted. And typically you have to weigh on the same day each morning, like each week, to have the most consistency. Meaning if I weigh myself on Monday versus Thursday, Monday, I'm coming in from the inconsistency and craziness of the weekend, I will weigh differently on Monday morning than I would on Thursday. Because the days leading up to Thursday are more consistent than the consistency of Saturday and Sunday. So Saturday and Sunday is all over the place, and then we weigh ourselves on Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday are usually very consistent and typical, so when we weigh ourselves on Thursday, it's a little bit of a different scenario. So comparing even fasted weigh-ins from different days all still creates inconsistencies. So it's better to compare this Monday to last Monday, to the previous Monday, to the forward Monday, but Mondays are Mondays. Tuesdays are Tuesdays, Wednesdays are Wednesdays, Thursdays are Thursdays. So I typically have clients weigh in on Mondays and Thursdays if we do weigh-ins, so that way I can see if there's a big variance of change between Monday and Thursday. If there is, then I know they're probably doing some crazy crap on the weekend that their body takes from Monday to Thursday to kind of reduce and adjust. So I would encourage her to weigh herself maybe Monday through Friday. She doesn't have to weigh herself on the weekend. Enjoy the weekend. But weigh yourself Monday through Friday or Monday, Wednesday, Friday or whatever the hell sequence you want. But at least do it twice a week, so Mondays and Thursdays. And then just compare Monday to Monday, Thursday to Thursday kind of thing. Okay, so she said, I did fasted workouts for years, but after listening to your podcast, I started with a very small meal before my workout, about 100 calories total, small piece of toast and fruit spread with a bit of orange juice. Hell yeah! Congratulations. I promise that'll make a difference. I have my full breakfast after the workout, usually 30 to 45 minutes after finishing my workout. Pretty good. So you heard there that I'm going to give her back some details. So she learned about the importance of blood work and getting your hormones and thyroid checked. She's going to do that. So if you're experiencing some recent weight gain that's kind of unexplained, get your hormones and thyroid checked. Okay? If you're doing any kind of fasted cardio or fasted workout, stop doing that. Listen to the podcast that we mentioned and start eating a little bit of food before you start your workout. If you say, I can't eat before I work out, well, then listen to that podcast number 882, If I Hate Fasted Exercise, Why Do I Sometimes Prescribe It? And I talk about how you can do fasted workout the healthier way. Ugh, I don't like it, but if you have to, how do we do it the best way? Okay? Then we said her goal was to continue to track her calories, but we're going to do body weight times 13, plus or minus 10% from that number, and try to be consistent within that window. She's going to weigh herself Mondays and Thursdays, start to see if there's any variance or differences and drop-offs and changes. So that's what we're going to start with. I'm going to help her from there, and we're going to continue to go with this on our own. But this gives you some starting steps that you can take to kind of regain control and feel kind of more in control of what's happening with your body. So if you're noticing some unexplained weight changes, this is an example of what you can do to address that and try to regain control. If you have any questions, if you need any help, if you want any help, I'm always here. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I can help you the same way I help this listener. Now, real quick, I do want to throw out there, the last couple podcasts we've been doing, we started with podcast 1080, so 1080. We did a mindset podcast titled Benefits of CBD Supplements. What I wanted to do is a company reached out named Stello Mints, S-T-E-L-L-O, Stello Mints. They make CBD mints. Now, usually CBD comes in the form of oil, and you have to use like a dropper, like an eyedropper thing, and it's kind of annoying to take. It works and it's good, but mints is way the hell easier. So if you've ever been interested in like what CBD benefits are, the company is offering a 20% discount if you use the code BRUTAL for their mints. Now, my wife uses CBD, and my mom has used CBD as well to help address like restless leg syndrome. My wife uses it to help calm like the craziness of life stress before bed. And a lot of my clients have used CBD for various reasons as well, like aches and pains, calming stress throughout the day, calming stress before night. You can take like melatonin, which helps with like physical kind of like calming, but CBD helps with kind of the emotional and mental calming before bed. So if you're having any stress issues, if you're having any sleep issues, if you're having pain you just can't seem to get away from, if you have not tried CBD before, this is an awesome, awesome opportunity. So again, it's Stello Mints, S-T-E-L-L-O, mints.com. You can go to their website, use the code BRUTAL, B-R-U-T-A-L, for 20% off. They sell the mints in like tins, and they come to 30 mints per tin. They have peppermint, lemon, and matcha. My family, we used peppermint. It was great. There was no weird aftertaste. It was actually really kind of nice. It was actually a really good mint. So we thought we really liked it. My wife loved it. She used half the dosage she normally does from her oil and got the same effect. And my mom was able to deal with her restless leg syndrome by just taking a couple mints while she's watching TV rather than having to go to the bedroom, put the oil in her mouth, stand there for 90 seconds, and do all that odds and ends. So Stello Mints are awesome in the sense that they can help you in a fast and easy way to better manage stress, stay more clear-minded, stay calmer throughout the day or right before bed. If you have never tried it, again, this is an awesome opportunity with a product that I firsthand know will work. So it's a pretty cool opportunity. Again, Stello Mints, S-T-E-L-L-O, mints.com. Use the coupon code BRUTAL for 20% off. And if you want to, you can listen to podcast number 1080, so 6 podcasts ago, and we do a whole podcast about the benefits of CBD supplements and what the benefits are and what my family's experience has been with the Stello Mints. So pretty cool. So if you've ever wanted to try it, this is an awesome opportunity. Thank you to Stello Mints for this opportunity for our listeners. I appreciate the listeners very much, and I'm excited to be able to offer something at a discount, but is still an awesome, badass product. It's very rare that you get those two things combined. Cool. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you need any help at all, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I wish you truly the best in life. I really do. And if you're struggling at all, I'm always here and I'm always happy to help. brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like today's podcast, please share it. The more we share the podcast, the more impactful that is to help other people. If you like the podcast, actually click like on the podcast platform we're on. That helps the podcast be found better in searches, so that's very significant. So thank you if you do that. If you want to find more from us, we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. I post every single day on Instagram, so definitely check us out on there. If you have questions, feedback, suggestions, if you want to reach out and let us know anything you're struggling with, like this listener did. Again, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.